to like crave your cravings per se.
Can I get a
podcast?
Welcome everybody. Welcome back. Can I get a podcast? It is Wednesday, March 13th, 2019. I'm Jeffrey Cooperstein alongside Christopher Gerard Gross. Chris, what's going on, dude?
It's good, Jeffrey Michael Cooperstein.
You were close, not Michael.
I guess we'll get into that later. Okay. I don't want to bog down the show here in the first 30 seconds on middle name talk. But Jeffrey, we've got a lot going on in the sports world right now.
A whole lot in Dallas-Fort Worth specifically.
Yes, there is a lot specifically. We've got to talk about the Mavericks, who, if you're team tank, you're happy. And we'll talk about should the Mavericks tank. Jeffrey and I have differing opinions. We'll get into that later in the podcast. But starting up, the legal tampering period came down 2 days ago in the NFL.
Yes.
Free agency officially opened yesterday, or today. Free agency opened today. And the Cowboys have done nothing.
Zero.
I guess if you want to say they signed Cody McIlroy.
Who's that? I'm seriously asking. I don't know who that is.
He played 1 year at like a JUCO. Like he didn't even play football in high school. So
interesting.
That's who they signed. They signed Jamiz Olawale.
Former UNT great.
Which is not good, but that's a conversation for another day. But I wanted to talk about the Cowboys because to me, this is a team where you're in a win now mode.
Extremely win now mode.
Like you're not thinking about the future because you've still got Dak and Zeke on their rookie deals,
right?
And you're probably going to have to figure out something with Dak before the season ends.
You would think so
because you don't want his contract to expire. But anyway, you've got all that going on. And look, to me, the Cowboys have never been a team to make big splashes in free agency.
Not as far as I can remember. They always make those small bargain signings.
The last big one was probably Mo Claiborne.
He was a draft pick.
No, he wasn't.
Yes, he was.
Who am I thinking of?
You're not thinking of the right one because Mo Claiborne, they traded up and drafted for. They traded up to 6 and drafted him.
Okay, you're right. Not Mo Claiborne. Brandon Carr is who I was thinking of. I got my defensive backs mixed up.
Easy to do with how crappy they've been for the Cowboys.
So that's your last big free agent signing for the Cowboys. And that's an issue. When you're a team who right now you need pieces. And what this has to do with free agency is we found out today Earl Thomas signs a 4-year, $52 million deal with the Ravens. Earl Thomas was a guy that this team needed.
And he was a guy who was rumored to the Cowboys for over a year. It was public interest that Earl Thomas wanted to go to the Cowboys, and they weren't willing to pay, they weren't willing to pay the over $10 million price for the safety, which understandable, but like you said, Earl Thomas was a guy they absolutely needed, and it didn't even seem like the Cowboys were remotely close to getting him.
Yeah, you think back to week 16 of the 2017 season where he chased Jason Garrett down almost into the Cowboys locker room.
And said, come get me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The interest is there, being a Texas guy and wanting to play with the Cowboys. It just goes to show, based off his contract, it's annually about $14.5 million.
It's a lot of money.
It is, but it's not more than I would be willing to pay.
No, absolutely. Like, I would have paid for him. It's the problem, I think the Cowboys are scared of paying big money to a free agent when they know they have to extend Dak. They know they're going to have to extend Zeke and Amari here soon. And they have Byron Jones, who they're going to... I don't know if Byron Jones will even be able to fit in under what the Cowboys are trying to do. And they still have the pending DeMarcus Lawrence situation. Yes.
And that's another thing, too, because I just don't... And I want to get to DeMarcus Lawrence, but with Earl Thomas, this was a team who only 5 teams had less interceptions than the Cowboys did last year.
Yes. The Cowboys needed Earl Thomas.
That is, and you know what? Earl Thomas is the one missing piece from what would have made a really good defense last year. They had a really good defense, but what was the one thing we said during the season? The one thing they couldn't do was get stops.
They lacked takeaways, yeah.
Not get stops. I don't know. I'm thinking basketball. You couldn't get interceptions. That was the big issue with this team. And I don't know what they're doing, but DeMarcus Lawrence is another thing. That's another... That's another guy you have to get locked up, and you have to get locked up soon.
I think they're going to figure it out before July 15th because that's when that deadline is. Like you said, DeMarcus Lawrence is one of the premier pass rushers in the league, and I think the Cowboys know they need to get him locked up.
Yeah.
So I don't think they're going to let him walk. Like, it's almost like they let Earl Thomas walk. If the Cowboys were to match the Ravens,
yeah,
you think he'd be going to the Cowboys?
I think the issue with Earl Thomas and the Cowboys is that he was going to get so much guaranteed money from Baltimore.
Yeah.
And whether it's right or wrong, the Cowboys just weren't going to do that. They weren't going to put all that guaranteed money in on Earl Thomas. But with DeMarcus Lawrence, this is a guy who, if you want him to be part of your team, it's almost like a, we better do it now because he needs shoulder surgery.
Right, like, he does. He does.
And that is something he's said he's not doing the surgery until he gets his deal locked up. And he's not doing it until he gets a brand new deal from the Cowboys. And so,
well, if you, I mean, that's, and he, and good on him for using leverage.
Absolutely. I agree, but it's, the Cowboys' approach to free agency to me is just, it's just very strange.
I don't know what the correct word to term it is.
Yeah.
It's not, I think the correct word is passive. They are passive in free agency. They aren't going out actively looking for the best guys at certain positions that they need. It's just not how they've operated, probably since, like you said, the Brandon Carr signing.
The interesting thing is, if you want to be, and I think Stephen Jones has said it, if you don't want to focus on free agency and you want to be a team that builds through the draft, that's fine.
But you have to draft well.
And you can't take all these flyers, like risking second round picks, you know, on a Jalen Smith. Now it's worked out, but you didn't know it was going to work out.
Well, risking second round picks on a Randy Gregory.
Exactly. Or even like with your, you know, a very late round pick taking a Rico Gathers.
And I understand that strategy because what they're thinking is that if these guys pan out, they're going to be, you know, huge players. But it's big ifs, especially with guys like Randy Gregory, who we knew had problems coming in, and guys like Rico Gathers, who never played football.
He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross, talking about the Cowboys and their approach to free agency. And you're right. And I think if you're, that's another thing with the Cowboys. If you're a team who is having success year in and year out, okay, take a flyer. Because you have the ability
to take. Patriots.
Yeah, because you have the ability to take that risk. But with the Cowboys, if you're a team that says, like you said earlier, if we're going to be in free agency, we're going to go to the bargain basket and we're going to get the guys who we can get cheap. We're not going to spend the big money. Then to me, what it says is you've got to focus on the high floor guys. Like you can't go there's a really low floor here, but the ceiling might be higher. You've got to focus on the guys who you know can come in and contribute. And they haven't drafted that way.
They haven't. They've drafted on potential. Which is great, but if those guys don't pan out, it leaves the Cowboys in a tight spot.
I'll read you this tweet from David Moore.
Please do.
He tweeted this afternoon. David Moore of the Dallas Morning News. The only free agent the Cowboys were willing to spend big on was Earl Thomas. Now that he's agreed with Baltimore, a deal too rich for their blood, there is no free agent watch. They will pick off a guy or two here and there and focus on their own as they have the last 6 years.
Now, here's the thing. That was before Eric Berry was released by the Chiefs. Is Eric Berry on the Cowboys' radar? He's a similar situation to Earl Thomas, an injured guy who's going to get big money from somebody.
And see, the other interesting thing, too, is when you look at just the safeties at large, you saw Landon Collins signed a big deal.
Huge.
Now, that is more than the Cowboys were willing to pay. But we saw Ha Ha Clinton Dix get signed today, too. A lot of safeties are being taken off the board. And that is a position that you have to address if you're a Cowboy, if you're the Cowboys. And so I find this tweet interesting that it's like,
Earl Thomas was the only safety they were looking at.
And it's interesting, too, because, right, if you have one guy you're focusing on, aren't you, like, ready to go all in?
You would think.
Like, to me, you can't say, we've got one guy on our radar, but we're going to try and lowball him and get him in a good deal.
You know,
it's very strange.
Maybe the Cowboys are just looking at the history of the NFC East and there hasn't been a repeat champion since, like, is it 1999 or something like that?
It's been a long time.
There hasn't been a repeat champion, so maybe the Cowboys are just going to say, you know what, we're punting on this year.
We're gonna save some cap space, see what we can do.
See what we can do next year because we have a chance. Because we literally have 0% chance of winning the division this year. So they're probably thinking, hey, we can do this next year.
I think if there was going to be a team that could break...
Not literally, by the way.
If there was a team that could break that history, if the Cowboys address some of their needs this year, I mean, they have a chance to do it.
Well, look, the Giants just blew their whole team up.
Yeah.
Another discussion for another day. Thank God I don't root for the Giants. I mean, the Redskins did sign Landon Collins, so they've been making some moves out there. But are they really a huge threat? I mean, who's their quarterback going to be? It is Alex Smith still, right?
Yeah, but he's hurt.
He's hurt. Yeah, so he's going to miss some of the year.
Yeah.
And weren't they trying to get, like, Keenum or something like that?
I think they did acquire Keenum. It's interesting.
Colt McCoy is going to start for them? I love you, Colt, but...
Who knows? They might be in the Josh Rosen sweepstakes when Kyler Murray makes
his
way to Arizona.
The Eagles, you know, the Eagles will be decent, but, yeah, I mean, if this is the... If there is a year, this is a year the Cowboys could repeat.
He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. There's our conversation on the Cowboys. I thought I'd be a little more, I thought I'd be a little less confused after I talked it out, but I'm still confused on the Cowboys and their free agency plan.
Me too.
Let's talk Mavericks.
Please.
We're going to talk about the Mavericks, where they are in the season. It's been a rough couple weeks. You could say even like a month or two for the Mavericks. And we'll talk about that next on the other side here. Can I get a podcast?
Cool. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Can I get a podcast? Last segment, we discussed the Cowboys and free agency, but we're going to switch gears here. We're going to talk some Mavericks, Chris. Everyone's favorite topic is the Mavericks nowadays, because NBA tanking, movement, free agency is even bigger than the games themselves.
Yeah.
But the games tie into all that. Right now, the Mavericks are not on a good stretch. I believe they're like 1-9 in their last 10, and they're just not playing well. It seems like they're starting to do that T word that I won't even mention by name because I hate it so much. But it's what's going to happen for the rest of the season, and I don't like it.
Oh, correct you. The Mavericks have lost 10 of their last 11. So even
10 of their last 11.
Even worse than you thought. Things are not good, but here's what's interesting. You kind of have the best of both worlds because the team is losing games, but they're trying. And that's the issue with tanking.
Right. This is a form of tanking I'm not okay with, but I understand. Because they're not trying to lose. They're just bad.
Yeah.
They're just a bad team.
And so I don't think it's really tanking, but I think the way you go about this is we're going to try as hard as we can to win, but if we lose, it's okay.
But I
don't have an issue with that.
I just think I said this on my other podcast, by the way, the Mavs Moneyball podcast. You can find it on mavsmoneyball.com.
Brand new podcast.
Yes, brand new. We'll have guests along the way. It'll be cool. But anyways, I said this. It sends a bad message to the organization if you're trying to lose games. And I don't think you want to send that message to Luka Doncic. Like, even he said this earlier. This season, he's lost more games this season than he has in his entire life as a basketball player.
Yeah.
That's got to be like a harsh reality check for him. So I don't think the Mavs want to lose intentionally, but I think at the moment, and I hate to say it, it probably is in the best interest of the franchise for them to lose the remainder of their games to try to maximize their ping pong balls in that lottery pot, and hopefully they get into the top five and keep that pick and get them another asset.
So I'm on tankathon.com.
Love that website. Did you sim it? Do one sim, see where the Mavs end up.
Let's do a sim lottery. And according to this sim, the Mavericks, they ended up with the 7th pick, which then goes to Atlanta.
Yeah.
But if you just look at their overall, numbers before you run a simulation, they've got a 37.2% chance of getting a top 4 pick.
That ain't bad.
No, it's not. And heck, I mean, you've got a 9% chance of getting the top overall pick. So 1 in 10...
Not horrible, horrible. And I think the Mavs are liking those odds more and more. But here's the thing. I also said this earlier. I think the more I watch these guys in college, the more I think this is a two-player draft that'll help you out right away. And I think what's going to be so weird about this is the Mavericks are going from a tank to a win-now situation because they're bringing Kristaps Porzingis back, and they're going to get a guy in free agency.
It's interesting because you think it's a two-player draft, and I agree with you.
It's a two-player draft from the standpoint where the top two players, Zion Williamson and RJ Barrett, both from Duke.
Yeah,
those are the guys that are that'll step in and can help a winning team right away. You have the guys like Cam Reddish, Nasir Little, Romeo Langford, John Morant, who are good players, but they're going to be development guys.
I agree. I like John Morant.
I do too. I like John Morant a lot, but he's not what the Mavs need.
Right. And so I just ran another sim. Only the second sim I've run.
Okay.
And I'm just going to be straight up honest with you.
All right.
In my next sim, the Mavs get the second pick.
There we go.
So,
but unfortunately, you only get one chance in the real lottery. You don't get the sim.
Right. And you need a top five. It's top five protected.
Yes.
And so it doesn't tell me what the numbers are of them to get a top five pick. But it's going to be...
What did you say? It's 32% at a top four?
37.2 to get a top four pick.
Man.
To me, that's good enough. Here's what's interesting about the Mavericks this season. And I need to go look. They didn't have a bad start to the season. Like, the first 2 weeks was rough.
Yeah, I mean, I think... But... They weren't like 15-15, were they?
They started out 15-11.
15-11, okay.
And then before they went on another big slide.
Right.
And so when you start looking at that, you're like, okay, this is a team that can make a playoff push.
Yes, we were thinking that early in the season.
And then we've had like two big swings where then you get to like December, January, and you go, okay, this isn't a team that's going to make the playoff, but you can say goodbye to that top five pick. And now we've just gone through, especially since the All-Star break. I mean, it was a couple games before.
It's been a ferocious downhill slide since the All-Star break. Really since the trade, honestly. I think the trade is what set it all in motion.
And you know what? I mean, you can't blame them for that. You lose four of your five starters. What do you expect is going to happen?
I mean, and here's the Luka is having to do so much on offense. Like last night, I honestly didn't get to watch much of the game, but last night... He looks so dejected and just so tired. And I heard after the game, he had a pretty bad shooting night last night. I heard after the game, for about an hour, he was out there on the court, you know, shooting with Mavs development coach Mike Procopio.
Which, you like to see that.
Love to see it.
But I'm not going to say, I think part of it was the knee. He was dealing with a strained knee.
Yeah, he's not healthy right now.
Yeah, but, and a lot of it is, like you said, he's tired. Part of it because he's coming into an NBA season. Look, he said it before, and this is the first time he's ever had to play back-to-backs.
Yeah.
This is a tiring season, and you didn't get a full All-Star break. Like some guys get where
right,
you go on vacation.
Right, because he had to play that Friday,
And you go chill, you know, you kick your feet up. He didn't get that.
And he's not going to get it.
He won't, but I think a lot of it is, like you said, he's having a lot put on him, both physically and, I guess you would say, mentally. As being what his role is with the team. And I think that's starting to take a toll on him.
It definitely is. And I figured it would happen because he is a rookie and rookies do have these learning curves they have to go through. And Lucas is a little bit more considering how the entire team was basically blown up in a matter of three games. So I think Luka will be fine. Obviously, I'm not worried about him at all. And I think he'll be better for it in the long run.
What's interesting, and it's like you said, it was not a great night for Luka last night. He had 12 points, 1 of 9 from the free throw line, 5 of 18 shooting. We knew free throws was going to be an issue for Luka,
but that's weird to me that free throws are an issue. Like he's shooting, he's got to be 70 or below for the season now, or maybe around 71. And I think free throws are going to be the biggest thing he's going to work with in the offseason. Because like I said, if you get Luka up to 78-80%, that's going to add 3 points per game, and that's a huge jump.
Currently, it's 71%.
71%.
And it's gotten worse. So he was better than this when the season started. It's especially been a recent thing where he's just been really bad at it. But we're talking Mavericks here. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. All that to say, one thing you don't want to get into Luka's head is, hey, we're going out to lose games.
Yes, and that's my biggest, what's the word? Qualm.
Your biggest qualm.
I tried to put two words together. My biggest qualm with tanking is that you don't want to send that message.
And I agree, but I do like what they're doing, where you can see they're trying hard. Look, you almost beat the Rockets the other night.
Beat the Rockets.
You should have beat the Rockets. You get a... you know, should you have called a timeout or not? You had Luka running up the court. We're not going to get into that, but it's a blocked shot from Jalen Brunson, which could have given you the game. So they're competing, but you're losing games, which is awesome.
That just sounds slimy. You're losing games, which is awesome. Does that just not like make your like make you cringe?
It does. And I'm trying to put myself in the player's shoes. And so I get it. But my thinking is those guys have to realize we are not close to the playoffs. We're not even a middle of the pack team.
I'm sure they realize it, but it's just you can't get over that. You can't say, oh yeah, I'm definitely going out and losing tonight. You just don't do it.
No, and I agree, but them not, I think you said it on your podcast. It's a, you know, you're down 8 with 5 minutes left. I mean, you're not going in full blown to try to win the game.
It'd have to be a little more than 8, but yes. No, I agree.
You think 8? Dude, I think personally,
you have to be down at least double digits with 5 minutes left.
Well, you know what's great about this Mavs team? They are down double digits a lot.
Yes, they
and
are.
And sometimes it happens very early. I know you're not Team Tank.
I'm not.
I am, and every time I go to Tankathon, they're climbing the reverse standings.
Well, here's the thing, man. When I did a Tankathon sim the other day, I did the first one of the season. I tried to wait as long as I could.
Yeah.
To get on Tankathon, finally did. Took me 7 sims to get the Mavs in the top 5. And that was my sign. I just knew.
Yeah. I'm here. You want me to run another one?
One more.
Mavs stay at 6.
See, there you go.
So one out of the 3 we've done, they've ended up in the...
And that's obviously a huge sample size, so that's definitely what it's going to be.
Now, stick around on the podcast is for the next 50 minutes we run Tankathon. We run Tankathon draft simulators. But it's going to be interesting. I think there is, for a team that is losing this much, they're intriguing for the last however many games we have left. 15 games, something like that.
Oh, yeah. They're still fun to watch. Luka is still fun to watch. I'll still watch.
I just want to say this real quick. I don't want to go too long in our Mavericks conversation. But Brunson has been really good.
Man, yeah. He had 34 last night. He's looking special, and I think he's forcing Rick Carlisle to make a lot of decisions about what the starting lineup might look like next year. I thought Brunson was a career like backup point guard, yeah. JJ Barea type. I mean, Brunson might be this team's starting point guard next season.
It's interesting. I think your dad was the one to tweet it out. Rookies who have had 30-point games so far this season, you've had each of the guys who were taken in the top 5.
And Jalen Brunson.
You had the 9th pick. Who now I'm trying to remember who it was. I can't remember.
Mikal Bridges, maybe?
I will look it up. But all that to say,
anyways, yes.
One guy outside of the top 10 draft picks to have a 30-point game.
I think at the end of the year, Jalen Brunson's going to find himself on the all-rookie second team as being one of the 10 best rookies in the draft, and he was the 33rd pick.
He most definitely, and the great thing about him is he's really stepped up since the trade. Once you've really upped his usage.
Out of necessity.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's good because.
No, it's great.
When you. We have to put this on him, and he's responded well. I like to see that out of Jalen Brunson. Kevin Knox,
yeah. That's okay, good player.
I couldn't remember. Kevin Knox playing for the Knicks.
He is.
Yeah. So Jalen Brunson, that's pretty impressive. The 33rd
overall
pick. I like it, too. He's been really impressive. He's Jeffrey Cooperstein. I'm Chris Gross. This is Can I Get a Podcast? We're going to wrap up the show like we always do. It is the 24-second shot clock. You put 24 seconds on the clock, and you get to talk about whatever you want, but when that buzzer goes off, it goes to the other person.
That's it.
It's really easy. So, Jeffrey, I'll start here. Me and my wife watch The Bachelor. Longtime listeners of the podcast will know that, but we have different schedules. I work evening. She works during the day, so we never get to watch it live. We usually end up having to wait till like Friday or Saturday to watch the show. I'm trying to find a way to keep myself from spoilers, because the past 2 weeks, I know how the show ends, but I'm thinking my only option is to like stay off Twitter for the entire week, but I don't want to do that.
So you already know how it ends?
Yeah.
Okay, full disclosure, I looked it up like before the season even started, just so I would know when people would talk about it.
I'll be honest with you. Like it was the second season of Bachelor, Bachelorette franchise that my wife and I were watching. The second season, it may have even been the first, when we decided we were going to start watching the show together, she told me at the end of the season, yeah, like week two, I went and looked who it was.
Okay.
I totally broke my Bachelor trust right off the bat.
Okay, this is too much Bachelor talk.
Then you want to go for your 24 seconds?
I would love to.
Why don't you start now?
So spring football has started, and Chris, spring football is such a tease because they don't play an actual game, but you get to see what the 2019 team's going to look like. I love watching like how the freshmen look, and that full disclosure, I'll watch a lot of the spring games, and it's just like you get your fix of college football, but it's not enough to like crave your cravings per se. And dude, I'm so excited.
I am too. I've never been a huge like spring football guy, but it is interesting. You get lots of storylines out of it, and it's like you said, watching the new guys, and especially it'll be interesting for TCU this year where. Like, when you've got a legitimate, like, quarterback decision you've got to make,
yeah,
that's when it gets really interesting.
I have another billion-dollar idea I want to throw out. 30 seconds.
Go for it.
They have a spring, like, league where you play one game against another team.
So, like, you would play, like, your conference biggest rival?
Like, Texas could play A&M or Baylor or Oklahoma. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like everyone just schedules somebody, and you play one game in the spring.
Is it a scrimmage or like a full-blown game?
It's a full-blown game, refs there and everything, and you just play.
This is genius.
I don't know why they haven't done it yet. It makes no sense to me. Why would you not?
It's like all other leagues. You sell preseason games.
Yes. Preseason game.
It's your exhibition.
It doesn't count towards the redshirt rule or anything like that.
Yeah.
Why not?
I can't believe this hasn't been thought of before. I guess you have the player safety issue.
Details. I'll go talk to Bob Bowlsby about it and see what he says.
My last question, when do you play the game?
Whenever everyone plays their spring games, yeah. You know, in the middle of April and the end of March. And do it.
Dude, I love this idea.
Let's go.
I think if you had... Dude, we need to get you some like investment money.
That's what I'm saying. I just need capital to make all this work.
We need to flush Jeffrey Cooperstein with cash so he can start his business and start his website, his streaming service, TimothyZane.com.
TimothyZane.com, yeah.
Providing all of your sports channels.
Which you could watch the Spring League on.
Now I'm starting to see they're all intertwined.
Come
somehow.
On, man.
Next, you're going to start selling some kind of TV. But... thanks to Timothy Zane for coming on the podcast last week.
Yes, that was great.
He shared our episode on Twitter, which I suggest all of you do. Share, put it on Facebook.
Leave a review,
leave a rating.
Preferably a 5-star rating.
We like those 5-star ratings. But that only does so much to help spread the word about the podcast.
That's right.
Jeffrey, how else do we get the word out there about the podcast?
You need to tell the person that most recently followed you on Instagram.
Yeah. Yep.
And then you need to tell all those person's followers. And then you need to tell your friends about it and all your family members. And you guys know who the most important person to tell is. I don't even have to say it anymore.
I'll say it.
Okay.
It's the ex-wife.
It is.
But that is the most important person to tell. And you know what? Tweet at us.
Please.
Let us know.
Would love to.
Let us know what happened when you told your ex-wife about the podcast.
We will read it on air.
Don't send it to me. Send it to Jeffrey. Send it to @jcoopjr27.
Please.
Let him know what happened. I'm sure that's happened a bunch.
Expecting, 100%.
I'm expecting lots of tweets. But Jeffrey, it's been fun.
Always.
We'll be back next week with another episode of Can I Get a Podcast?
Okay, thanks.